Hey, Mike, if you don't have these numbers in front of you, don't worry about it, but I'd just be curious as to where the team finished production-wise and what your net new money looked like for 2013.
Do you have it? Yeah, it's about two. We finished there at 2.3 or 2.4. And net new was not that great, but it was better than most.
About 5 million.
Was it?
It may not have been quite that high.
I thought it was 2 or something. I'll double check it while we're talking.
So you think it was 2 to 3 net new money?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yep.
Okay. Matt thinks it was 2 to 3.
All right. And the 2.3 to 2.4, how did that compare with last year?
Up about 30%.
It was up 30%?
I was up 30.
I was up 32.
You were up 32?
Yeah.
So then, yeah, 30%.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about right, I guess.
You were up 30% year over year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. I know. Wow. We just said something's working, so we can't beat ourselves up all the time.
I know that. I don't know what it is about FAs, and I was one of them. We always seem to focus on what's not working and never quite give ourselves the credit for what is working. I don't know what your firm was up, but it wasn't anywhere near 30%. It was like 8 or 9 last time I checked.
Yeah, that's probably in the ballpark, somewhere in that 10-ish, 10, 11-ish range.
Good.
Would probably be right.
Good. Well, congratulations. It's a great year. Okay. Mike, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the goal is for where we are with Supernova right now? Succinctly, what's the goal for segmentation?
Well, our goal was to get down to 200. So Matt and I had spent some time. I know you'd recommended we spend some time with Callie and Verna and Lori as well, and we should do that as well. We haven't done that, but just going through the list and making some, thoughtful plans on how to reduce the size of the practice. So we did migrate roughly 40 households on last week. And unbeknownst to us, they got their letters already today. So we were on, and these are clients that we were going to call, and let them know what was going on. So we're in a little bit of panic mode now because we're going to have to get that done today or tomorrow. So we made a cut there, and we're going to just keep after it, just keep working it down.
Okay, let me come back to that. I just want to do go back and make sure we got clarity of task here. You are more granular. I hate that word, but it's the best one I can come up with. You're more granular than I am, and I'm glad you are. But here's the goal, as I see it, for where we are for all five of you and for me. The goal is to get to your core so you can deliver your service model and deliver it consistently. When you do that, you become more referable because you've got happy clients. And when you have happy clients, you can grow with people who look like your favorite clients. Matt, can you think of your favorite client? Can you picture that person?
Yep.
You said yes?
Yes, sorry, yes.
And this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it. What would 10 more people like that do for your practice in 2014?
Well, it would make day-to-day easier. It would make the job more fun, and it would mean more revenue.
The most important word I heard you say, Matt, was fun. Part of what we do in Supernova is bring balance to your life so you can spend time recharging. When you're growing your practice and you're growing it with people who you really enjoy it becomes more fun. So that's really what we're doing here. While part of the process is going through these exercises and then sometimes pain of reducing the size of the practice, the real goal is to give you all breathing room so that you can grow your practice and have balance in your life. So that's your answer was the right answer, Mike. I just want to have a clarity of task of what we're really doing here, the big picture. Now, Mike and I corresponded a couple of times over the last week just about everything that was going on in the practice. Not everything, but some stress in the practice. And Mike's words to me via email was December was a tough month. I'm looking for the exact words, but, well, I'll give you the exact words. This month has been the worst ever for them, and by them he meant the team. Verna, what made December a really rough month for you?
There's just so many things to do by month end. You know, there's a lot of distributions for clients, a lot of gifts for clients, a lot of tax swaps for clients. It was just sheer volume, period.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question, Verna, that when you have all these requests, how do you prioritize them? Do you look and say, who is the best client here and start with that person? Or, well, I'm not going to answer the question. You understand my question. How do you prioritize when you have all this volume, whether it's month-end, normal month-end stuff, RMDs, gifts, whatever? How do you prioritize?
I don't. I just do them all.
Okay. Now, that answer came to me from a different type of question a couple of weeks ago where I was working with a team, or I am working with a team, who have the feeling that they don't really need to reduce that much more because these people, however they define these people, don't add that much. They don't take any time. And when the FAs started going down that path, the CSA said, well, understand that when something comes in, I take care of it, and I don't pay any attention to whether it's a really poor client or a really great client. And it sounds like you're in that same mode. Is that fair, Verna?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Now, Mike and Matt, did you just hear what Verna said?
I wasn't listening. No, yes.
Yes.
Okay, again, you're going through some tough things. Mike sent me a list of folks that you all are really having some heart pull on, and that's good. It tells me you're human. But do you want to have a practice where Verna has such volume, and I'm going to pick on everybody before the hour's over, where Verna has such volume that she can't prioritize between one of your top 10 clients and somebody that you don't know very well? I don't think you want to have that type of practice. So, Verna, what I hear you saying is you just had the normal year-end stuff. It just seemed to be a little bit more of a little bit more volume, maybe a little bit more crush this year. Fair?
Fair. Yeah.
All right, Kaylee, how would you answer that question? What made December a tough month for you?
I would just. It's the same thing. It's all of the same things that come up at your end. And I also think there's a big production push for, I support more than just for everybody to try to get in whatever they can before the end of the year. So it just becomes, everything becomes a priority in December. So
yeah.
All of it.
Volume is a big part of it. Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Lori, how would you answer that question? What made December a tough month?
Mike won't like that I'm fessing up, but I probably had 1 week out of December that I could schedule reviews, Otherwise, the rest, he kind of gave me the, you know, I can't really get booked up this week. So I found myself at the very end of December in panic mode because I had not scheduled everyone that I knew should be scheduled. And what will happen is he'll come back in 6 months and say, why did we not have a review with this person? And then I have to really be very diligent in note-taking to say that, well, we decided we couldn't get everybody in because we only had 1 week to schedule in December. So sorry, I'm laying out your dirty laundry.
Can you hear us under the bar? This is like...
Okay. Here's what I'm going to make up from what you said. I don't think I'm making it up. You keep pretty good notes just so if you get asked why certain things didn't happen, you've got an explanation. You don't want Mike or Matt or anybody else in the team to think that you're not pulling your fair share, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for candor here. All right, Matt, what made it a tough month for you?
I don't know if I'm going to have anything new that they haven't said. It was just simply workful. It was year-end stuff. It was people that, you know, I don't know if it was the fact that Thanksgiving to Christmas was a little shorter this year, and so, you know, people weren't returning phone calls, and then all of a sudden, like the last week, it's just pure workflow. There's just too many clients. We're trying to be too many things to too many people.
All right. I'm going to ask you to be a little more specific. You said it's year-end stuff. I understand the RMDs and the gifts. Give me just a couple of things that are the year-end stuff as it affects you.
I had, you know, on Monday, last Monday, I had 4 or 5 calls that, you know, were return phone calls from November. People finally wanted to take a moment to talk, and it wasn't important to them before then. So you're just dealing with that. I had 3 simple plan participants call in and wanted to change their allocations. We've got 3 clients that died in the last month. So we're going through, you know, all those phone calls, and you know, the kids are finally sending their stuff in, and they're wanting it done before year end. On top of that, you're still just trying to call your best clients to do some kind of tax harvesting.
Okay. I know this is it might be hard to specifically answer, but the people, you said 4 or 5 people called, returned your calls from November. Is your recollection those were good clients?
Well, on average, I mean, how do you define a good client?
I'm going to let you define a good client. As you would define it, I don't need the definition. If these 4 or 5 people left the practice, would you care?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So these were people you would want to keep in your practice, not people who shouldn't be in your practice.
Correct.
Okay. All right, Mike.
Reviews. You know, then I still had my normal reviews. So.
Matt, do you all try to do all your reviews in December?
Whatever pops up, and Lori is very good at that. You know, whatever pops up on, you know, our scheduler for client reviews, you know, Lori sets them up.
Yeah.
So, whatever pops up, I try to do.
Okay.
Less intense than Mike tend to be, so I generally won't say don't schedule. I'll say if there's time available on my calendar, fill it.
All right. So, and this is an aside, but if you all got set up, Matt, in Supernova where you were scheduled, as you know we schedule, would Laurie be the person who would be managing the calendar?
Yeah. And she already is managing the calendar.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Mike, give me a couple reasons why it was to use your term, the worst ever in December.
Worst ever, I don't want that, how do I want to say that? make it sound more dramatic than it is. But I look at Verna and Lorraine Kelly, but then also get inputs from the rest of the office, and so I just see everybody was working hard, and everybody was trying to manage a fair amount of workflow at the end of the year. So I'm taking that, you know, our group, but also the rest of the office in the context there. You know, what was it? Yeah, again, there was any number of things. R&D is maybe part of it. Part of it is a year-end tax swaps and tax loss reviews. Those all take time. Trying to contact clients and get a hold of them regarding some last-minute or some end-of-the-year adjustments to manage their tax situations. A lot of the capital gains and mutual fund distributions, we didn't know what they were until November. So all of a sudden, December was crunch time to see if we needed to harvest some losses. I had a few clients. One client, where their business was bought out and received a nice chunk of money, but then he wanted to gift $300,000 to the foundation, so that took some time, and then I had to put together a proposal for a reinvestment, and I don't know, just lots of those things. I've been backed up on my post op work, just trying to get old files cleared out. So that's why I told Lori to lay low for a little while and not schedule anything, because the more I schedule, the more behind I get. So I'm just making as much effort as I can to get unburied. But then that just makes it worse down the road for Lori and everybody.
Okay.
Everybody, yeah.
All right. Just 1 second on the RMDs. Verna, I was told by a UBS CSA that RMDs can be automated now, that they can be set up for every year. Is that true?
That's very true, but it's not worth doing in my situation.
Because...
Well, it's two different programs, and so then towards the end of the year you start, well, actually I start in September to start making sure that everybody's got their RMD coming out. And if you do the automated one, it seems like most people want to do it in November and December. So then you got to check to make sure they have enough money there. So that will make December worse.
Yeah, I get it. So you don't think that fits for you?
No. We actually tried it, and... It didn't work.
Okay. All right.
Also, too, Rob, we've been in the process of converting a lot of accounts from our PACE platform over to our PMP platform, and that's created a whole other level of work, too, on my end. And, well, because right now the team can't run trades for me in the PMP, well, they can now. And you know?
I can.
Yeah,
I
you
do.
Can. Matt can.
I do.
So, but Verna can't. And plus, we're setting up the models and trying to get that system up and running so that it creates some efficiencies, but it's creating some inefficiencies in the short run.
Who would be the best person to set that process up, Mike?
Matt.
I knew it.
Or Verna. Set it up. No, probably.
Probably Matt.
Probably Matt.
Okay. All right. My point there is, you don't have to be involved in everything. All right. Now, what you all have told me, I hear it a lot. The thing that's really interesting to me, and please hear what I'm saying, is with all you all have got going on with the number of clients and switching from PACE to PMP and all those things, and you're up 30%. I mean, I'd want to go home and sleep for a month after a year like that. You've got an awful lot done. I'm in awe of what you got done in 2013. So is it fair to say, Mike, that as each one of you have gone through what made December a tough month, a lot of it is volume driven.
Totally.
All right. I've taken a lot of time here to drive home the point that the practice we need to get this practice down to its core so that your best clients are receiving a superior level of service. Well, you don't want it to what Vern had described and other UBS CSAs have described before is I just take the last in, you know, I don't prioritize. So let's get back to what you shared with me again via email. And you said that 90% of your revenue comes from 200 relationships. And then you said it's not rocket science, but the other 206 include old high school teacher friend, the custodian at my church, the daughter, my daughter's college friend, the guy that sings in my choir, my neighbors down the street, Matt's aunt, the community foundation director. You know that list. So as let me ask Matt. Matt, as you see those headings, old high school teacher, your aunt, so on and so forth, what's your best solution to that right now? Now remember, folks, where we are is we're doing this a lot on paper, just to try to get down to the core. So Matt, what else how would you address these issues that Mike brought up in his email from last Friday?
How do I address the issues? I think we did. I mean, we said, and that's the other flip side too. I mean, no one added that, Bob, but on top of business stuff, we're doing business planning stuff in December. And so, you know, Mike and I took 3-4 hours over last Thursday and Friday and went through and had a heart-to-heart basically on the 40 that we moved, and that's what it takes. You know, we've pruned the book of the what I would call maybe the easier clients. You know, we still have some. We still have some difficult ones, and we have difficult conversations that we still have to have, but that's what it takes, I think. At least that's how Mike and I are wired, is, you know, you've got I've got to become mentally okay and emotionally okay with calling my aunt up and telling her I can't work with her anymore. Or Mike has to call an old high school teacher and tell him that, you know, so it's just becoming comfortable with doing it, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so are there any of these people, again, that were on this list that you all decided to keep?
We went as far as we could and had time for. So again, we got through 40, and we're just going to keep working at it, Rob. Part of it creates everything we do creates more work, and so this process creates more work. So it creates more work because it's a conversation now with every client on how we're going to help them and help service their accounts, and on who's going to call them, why are they getting called from the Wealth Advice Center and not from us, and so that all of that is daunting because I don't have a script for it. Haven't had the conversations yet. But I had one this morning because the letters already went out to those clients, which we didn't know that we'd go out so quick.
They received them.
Yeah, they went out. Must have went out Friday or Saturday, or Friday. Must have went out Friday. So anyway, we just are having those conversations now. So I think as we get through that, then we'll just knock off another 40. I don't know. We'll just keep working at it and work
okay.
it out.
Okay. Mike, would you like for me to put together a script for you? You don't have to use it. You might want to use parts of it or whatever. Would that be helpful to you all?
I mean, this morning I talked to Dennis, and I said, Dennis, I just need to let you know what's going on and how we're servicing your account. The firm has changed their policies with regard to on accounts we're able to service individually, and so accounts under 100,000, we need to partner up with our Wealth Advice Center to service clients' needs, and so your account was part of that cut, and so you're going to get a letter from the Wealth Advice Center, and that's our 800 number with a team of trained professional licensed advisors who, you know, can review your funds and will make a proactive call every 6 months to touch base with you. But on balance, you probably don't need much. Your account's doing really well. The fund is doing really well. If you ever have any trouble, be sure to call me. But it's just the policy. And plus, the team won't allow me to handle accounts under 250 anymore. Oh, no, that's all right. He was okay with it. Yeah, no problem.
Did it surprise you he was okay with it?
No.
All right. Matt, have you had any of these conversations?
Not this go around, no.
So we didn't know if that was the best route to go or send a letter, but some of these are more phone calls just to say, you know, I'm just framing it that the practice is, I have another script that's more about the practices change. We're providing more fee-based holistic wealth management, requiring more complicated, more involved financial planning and investment management services, and we're needing, and we're not able to handle the number of relationships we used to, so we're partnering up with our Wealth Advice Center to help service some of our accounts. So you're probably going to get a call from them, and I wanted you to know what was going on.
Okay. I really like what you're saying about partnering with them. I think that's a nice transition. I would be a little bit careful, Mike, and again, this is my advice, not my dictate, to saying if you have any problems, call us.
Oh, okay.
You really don't want them to do that. You're putting that in there to make it a little softer, and I understand that.
Okay.
But let's go ahead and just cut the cord here and let those be advice center clients. Now, the other thing that I would encourage you to use is don't tell people you can't give them the service that they deserve.
Okay.
Because what they're going to say, many of them are going to say is, well, what you're doing now is fine. So you don't say, I can't give you the service that you deserve. I would prefer that you say, we can't give you the service we want you to have. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
That way you maintain control of the conversation and you don't get that pushback of, oh, let's just keep doing what we're doing. We don't need a lot. So it's not about what they deserve. It's about what you and the team want them to have. These 40 that letters are that you're talking about, how many does that bring you all down to?
There's 200 on the core list. There's 306 on the other list. Of that 306, about 150 of those are non-network simple funds and accounts. So there's roughly 100?
Well, no, we're basically left with about 100.
130. It's roughly 130 or 40. Plus, if you add in the simple relationships, if we assume that the owner is the relationship, which usually it is, there's roughly another 140 or 50 accounts.
Okay. I'm not sure of all your terminology. When you say you've got 200 on a core list,
yep.
Are those the folks to whom you're going to give Supernova service?
That's what we're trying to get down to. So, and there's 200 on that list. That's what we're trying to get to on the Supernova. You'd said 140, but we're just trying to get there first. And then there's 306 on the next list. Of that 306, a bunch of those are non-networked simple accounts and IRAs and non-networked mutual funds. So again, there's 306 of those. Depending on how you want to slice and dice it, there's probably 9 simple accounts. So if we're just playing mind games now. I mean, it's...
There's basically 100 that we still have action to do, right?
There's 130 or 40 that we still have some action to do on them, but the reality is there's 306 more.
So those 130 are in the 306?
Yep. Correct.
All right. Is there any way to get rid of those 130?
Yeah, we'd have to reassign all the retirement plans and the non-network mutual funds.
Okay, and define a non-network mutual fund for me.
I don't know, Bernard.
So here's an example. My brother-in-law, back in the day, 8, 9 years ago, wanted to set up a Roth, was sending $50 a month in because that's all he could afford. it was too expensive to have them set up at Piper, so I set them at, up at American Funds, and you get hit with a $15 a year fee.
So they're not on in your practice. They're direct with the mutual fund.
Correct. Direct with the mutual fund, but yeah, I mean they still call. I still, you know.
Yeah, they still.
Our name is still on it.
Okay, could you send a non-network mutual fund to the investment center?
Anybody that's on that list, I think we can send.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. We didn't get that far, Rob. We got through 40. We thought.
Okay.
I
recognize the progress, Mike. I recognize the progress.
I know we got to get more into it, and so that's the next. We just got to keep after it.
Okay. So, Mike, on a scale of 1 to 10, measuring progress here,
mm-hmm.
not perfection, but progress, what score would you give the group as making progress toward getting to the 200 and then beyond? We'll worry about getting beyond that. How do you feel about it?
I feel we made a really good effort considering all that was going on the last two or three weeks here, and we carved out some time. I would like to carve out time with Verna and Callie and Lori and go through the 300 and maybe get their input on the next cut. I think that would make sense. So, but I would say I think we did well considering. So. I'm going to give ourselves a 6 anyway.
I was thinking 6 or 7. So
we didn't fail.
All right. So you're making progress. Is this better progress, Matt, than you've made in the past?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because we've done this before. We've done it two other times, but these ones cut deeper. So from that standpoint, yes. From a numbers standpoint of who we moved out and have we reduced the workload,
no.
So
we thought it would, but it didn't, so now we got to do it again.
We got to do it again. So we're committed to it, so yes, I think.
We cut 100. Right. The first Supernova go-around, we cut about 150 out.
But they didn't leave? Is that what you told me? Or they did leave?
They did leave.
They did leave.
Yeah,
all right.
We moved them to the EAC.
All right. Now, Matt, the reason I ask you that question is you were very candid in our first meeting, or second meeting, I forget which was saying that, you know, we've tried this before, but it's never worked. So I'm not using your words, but you remember that conversation.
Well, yeah, a little out of context, but I don't think I said it's never worked. I said we've never fully implemented it, or I think I did.
Okay.
Never fully implemented it the way you guys have designed the program. We've made alterations to it, and I think I called it Supernova Light. And I know it doesn't work.
It doesn't taste very good, actually.
It doesn't taste very good. It's less filling.
It's less filling.
Than whole Supernova. Yeah, I mean, you know, lesson learned.
Here's my question, Matt. Does it feel different this time? And you're not going to hurt my feelings. Does it feel like this time it's got a shot?
I feel like it has more of a shot than the last time, yes.
Okay. All right. There's one other question I wanted to ask. When you got rid of those accounts last time, my recollection is that your practice and number of relationships started working its way back up again. Is that correct?
No, not so much. it's just some relationships that the firm didn't know we had. Those we have.
Okay. All right. Now,
they weren't being networked onto our system. So these non-networked accounts, these simple accounts, 401ks, plans, whatever, they weren't showing up on our system. But now with the new KYC rules, they're requiring more due diligence and supervisory responsibilities, and so the firm is now networked. They're able to network those onto our system so we can see them. Before, they were kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
They were not out of Verna's mind or Lori's mind or Kelly's mind, but they were out of Matt and my mind. So we just didn't.
Ignorance was
kind of bliss. But we didn't know.
All right.
No. So, but now we know.
Verna, have you seen this list that these 40 households that got the letters?
Just did it on Friday.
Matt just gave it to me right now, and I just looked through it.
And when you look at that list, is there anything that jumps out at you, somebody you're surprised about, somebody who you're glad to see go? Any initial reaction when you look at that list?
There's a couple people that I'm glad to see go.
Oh, which one?
but otherwise,
I talked to one this morning that I was glad to
move. Which one?
I knew George Farah. I know, Callie.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Really?
I knew it. I mean,
why is nobody?
I didn't know, so it was a little bit of an awkward conversation.
Why didn't nobody say anything before, though?
I think Matt and I have known about that one.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know it was that. I didn't know he was calling on that regular basis asking for checks.
Yeah. It's pretty streamlined now. Though. I mean, in terms of the phone call, I can have it done by the time I hang up the phone with him, but it's still a phone call.
Yeah.
Verna, don't spend a lot of time thinking about this, but can you think of other? Does anybody jump out who you'd like to see added to that list?
I don't have that list yet to look at to add to this 40. You mean?
Yeah. Are there other people that you would like to have seen on that list? In other words, they're on their way out of the practice.
Too hard to think of those right now without actually looking at the list.
Okay. All right. Now,
one thing I did kind of notice, though, that if I look at this list, there's probably only about four or five people that I've talked to in the last year. It's just a little bizarre because maybe obviously the list doesn't go deep enough.
Okay. All right.
Back and
turn
not even close, guys.
I mean, that was the
first thing
that jumped out
of
me.
Well, maybe Callie's talking to
him,
too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or Lori.
I haven't seen the list yet. It could be a lot of
people,
yeah.
Again, right. No, because we don't see it. I mean, if you guys are getting the calls for the change of bennies and the paperwork and, you know, retitling and putting a joint name and whatever it is, we're just not seeing it. You're just doing it, and we're not.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But it is, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So you're reducing the size of the practice. It's not perfect, but it's good progress. You're setting aside time to make thoughtful decisions. What's your minimum account you're going to accept now, folks? It doesn't, to me, makes very little sense to give away a $150,000 relationship and open another $150,000 relationship. So a minimum is really important. What's your minimum?
My minimum is $1 million. The average, I know I get in trouble saying that. The average minimum for the top 200 is 1.6.
Wait a minute. The average... account
the
of your
top 200, the average size is 1.6.
Wait a minute, 200, 1.6.
Is that right? Is that number, Mark?
Okay. And obviously, if you looked at your top 50, it would be a lot higher. I mean, that's just the math.
Correct.
So, what's the right minimum, Mike?
For the team? You know, $1 million is the right minimum. I've said 500 is sort of a soft minimum, but $1 million is the right minimum.
If you look at your 200th client, I don't know if you have this in front of you, what do they have in assets?
All 200?
No, just the last person on that list of 200.
Hold on. My assets?
No, they're ranked by revenue.
Well, they're ranked by revenue.
I mean, there's some monkey ones. I mean, right, the bottom part of that 200 is some of what we would consider our butlers. I mean, the 140 is probably a better number.
140?
Yeah. Well, Rob, I mean, so we went to 200, yes, when you said to go to 140, but, you know, some of the bottom, you know, from 141 to 200 are what we would kind of call butlers.
Well, this Matt, the way that we define a butler is somebody you have to keep because they are related to a great relationship. It's not where you put a small account. So do you have 60 people who fit that definition?
I would guess that, again, I don't have the number, Rob, so it's not to belabor it, but I looked at the top. I looked at the top 50, and then I looked at the top 200, and I came up with that, you know, that average. So I just said if, you know, for new relationships we would target a million or more, but I think if we went down to 200 and we got to 500,000, would probably get us pretty close to, you know, if we a soft minimum. But that's really my hard minimum, I guess, would be the 500, but a million is the target.
Okay. Matt, what do you think is the right minimum for the team?
Honestly, the right minimum is a million.
Okay. You all get to decide. But when Mike says that the average of the top 200, and correct me if I didn't write this correctly, is 1,000,006, 500 seems too low. A million does not seem too high. So what I don't want you all to do is to go through this work to reduce the size of your practice, and then you start opening the door for people just who don't fit just because you all are nice people and you don't want to come across as arrogant or whatever. So if you had to declare a minimum, now you all get to decide. But if you had to declare a minimum today and stick to it, what would it be?
A million.
Matt, what would it be?
A million.
Okay. Now, here's a question I always ask at this point. So if somebody walks in with 900 and you like them and you know they will allow you to put them in PMP or whatever it is that you think is in their best interest, are you going to turn that down?
No.
No. We're not crazy.
It's fair to say that your minimum isn't a million. It's 900 in that case.
Yeah.
So we got to get to a place. I would rather that you have a minimum that you live by than to have a higher one that you violate all the time. Okay.
So maybe a hard minimum.
But here's what I would tell you, folks, is with the size of your practice, in my opinion, a million is right number. Is there someone in your office who would take a $900,000 relationship, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
And take you to lunch once a quarter. I mean, there are people out there who will take care of those relationships.
Right.
Now, because where I'd like to have your time spent is in doing the things proactively for your best clients that you cannot do consistently right now. Now, let me put another little term on here that may help you with this process. My minimum is a million unless there are extenuating circumstances. It's important, in our view, that you plant that flag of a million. Now, what's an extenuating circumstance? Let me make a ridiculous example. if somebody has $100,000 now, but the 1st of March they're going to inherit $3 million and it's coming to you, Matt, are you going to open that relationship?
Yep.
Did you say yes or no?
Yes.
Of course you would. That's just common sense. That's an extenuating circumstance.
Okay.
What's not an extenuating circumstance is somebody comes in with 450 and you say, they won't take any time, they'll do PMP, and that's violating your minimum. So the way that you present that minimum is we have a minimum of $1 million unless there are extenuating circumstances. Well, Matt, what's an extenuating circumstance? If we have someone who has less than our minimum, but in the next year, because of liquidity events or whatever, they can be above our million, that's an extenuating circumstance. Do you see that, Matt?
Absolutely.
I don't know if a year is the right length of time. You get longer than that, and then it becomes a pipe dream sometimes, because you've all had a relationship who are always going to bring in more money and never did. But do you see how we plant that minimum and then add unless there are extenuating circumstances? What's the referral source hearing? They're hearing the million. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, are you good with that?
Yeah, we've been guilty of violating that all the time. Yeah.
Well, tell me, okay, let me, instead of asking you a question, in the interest of time, let's think about this minimum. Why, Mike, let's say I'm a center of influence, and I've referred you clients before that are less than a million. And you call me and tell me you've made some structural adjustments to your practice or refinements, however you all define it. And you say part of that is we've reduced the number of clients that we have, and we have established a $1 million minimum, unless there are extenuating circumstances. And the COI, Center of Influence, says to you, well, Mike, you know, you took a $450,000 relationship before. Why have you raised your minimum to $1 million? Here's the answer, folks. The answer is you have to control the capacity of your practice. And that's what you do with a minimum. In that situation I just gave you is, well, I understand what you're saying. We have to control the growth of our practice. We cannot let the service we're providing to existing relationships suffer because of the growth of the practice. For that reason, we've established this minimum. Mike, do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
Now you think about a referral source who's referred you somebody less than a million, and what you're saying to them is, well, I got to control the capacity of my practice so that the service to my existing clients does not suffer. I mean, how does somebody argue with that? It's not about you being too big for your britches or whatever. It's about you got to control the capacity. You know, you're not the power company. You don't have to do business with everybody. So this minimum is really important. It's part of how your brand. It's part of how you position yourself with your centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
So whether, I mean, to me, the million is the right number unless you're going to violate it on a continual basis. You with me?
I'm with you.
Matt, you does it make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So what I'm going to do is when we meet next week, I'd like for you all to give it a little thought. I think a million's the right number, but I'm not going to write it down until we talk next week. Matt, think of your best referral source. You got them in your mind?
Yes.
Describe that person. Don't need a name, obviously, but describe what makes them a good center of influence for you.
We're well connected with and respected with people that I would want to do business with.
Are the referrals that that person give you, are they company specific? Are they niche specific?
Yeah, they're company specific. They work and we're tied in with the Granite Company here in town, and I've gotten a lot of referrals from them over the years.
Okay, is that referral source a client right now?
Yes.
And is that somebody who's going to be in your top 200 as we go through this process?
Yes.
Are they above or below a million?
Below.
How much below?
400,000 below. They're probably at 650 right now.
Okay, so if you go to that person and you tell them about some structural changes, some refinements that you all are making to the practice, how do you think they react to the $1 million minimum?
The first thing they'll say is, well, I'm not at a million.
I know you aren't. This minimum applies to new business. Because, as you know, Bill, I'm making up that name, we've reduced the number of people in our practice. We're establishing this minimum so our service to people like you does not suffer. Now, is that a conversation that you think would be harmful to your relationship?
No.
I don't see it either. Mike, what do you think?
No, it sounds, that's a great way to frame it.
Yeah. I'll ask you the same question, Mike. Can you think of a great referral source?
Yes.
Are they a client?
No.
Okay, so talking to them about your minimum would be not a big deal, correct?
No. And it would probably help solidify more referrals. I just haven't had time to get in front of them to do that. So.
Well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So don't fuss about that. The reason for having this minimum conversation today, folks, is as you reduce, I don't want more clients coming in that don't look a whole lot different from what you are in the process of reducing. I think that's only common sense. We'll get into this other stuff later, Mike, around how you position this with centers of influence and talking to your existing clients about the refinements to your practice. But we're not there quite yet. We're getting closer. So the focus is still on getting the segmentation down. And then I'm going to gradually work in the organizational piece and a little acquisition as we go. But you'll go to your existing clients, talk about the refinements you've made, talk about the service model, talk about reducing the number of clients, talking about your minimum. And some clients' response will be just what Matt said a minute ago. Well, does that mean you're firing me? No. This minimum refers to new business. We can never let the growth of our practice harm what our existing clients receive. Mike, those are really positive conversations to have and make sense to existing clients. We had this happen with one of your folks on Long Island, and tell me. But this client had the FA raised his minimum from $500,000 to $1 million, was calling this client who had around $500,000 and was telling him about the new minimum. And he says, do you mean I can't work with you anymore? And he said, no, that applies to new business. You're grandfathered. The client's response was, I don't want to be grandfathered, and brought in another $2.5 million. So that doesn't obviously happen every time, but it's a very positive conversation to have. We're right close to the quarter after. Matt, what's the next logical step for you in this process?
Well, the first logical step is to call the people we moved to the Wealth Advisement Center today. So I don't know how we can do anything else until we get them called to let them know. After that, it's continue to work through the list. Continue to do what we've been doing, I think.
Okay. Well, let me just offer a suggestion on the folks that you're calling. If you've got a list of 40, there are some people on there, Matt, who are going to get that letter and say, okay, it's not going to really bother them. So I would focus on the ones where you think there is a need to call.
Yep, I did that.
Okay. And then the others, like that person, I mean, Verna said there were a couple people on there that she doesn't talk to very often. You know, I don't know if those people need a call from you, but that's your decision. Mike, what's the next logical step from your point of view?
I think we'll just schedule some additional time with the team to continue to work through the list and continue to work it down.
I think everybody gets a list. Sit down and set aside 45 minutes or an hour, and just work through the list. What are we missing? You and Matt have done a lot of good work. Make sure that you involve Verna and Lori and Kaylee in the process. Also, they may have a thought that you all don't have. One other thing that we're going to talk about next week is the scheduling, just to get that. Lori, have you been through the scheduling part of Supernova?
No, I've not done any training on it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. A little bit about that next week.
I won't be.
All right, folks. Anything else?
Lori won't. Oh,
yeah, Mike,
where am I? Oh, I'm not here next week, Rob. And Lori's not here next week.
You want to do it in 2 weeks?
We go out in 2 weeks, yeah.
Florida.
Yeah. Where are you going?
The branch manager's meeting is next week for 4 days in Florida.
It's about 3 days too long, isn't it?
It's about 3 days too long, yeah.
I know. Where in Florida?
Boca.
Not bad at all. All right, let's do it in 2 weeks, but what I would ask, Mike, is to continue to work on this list between now and next week.
Okay.
Between now and 2 weeks from now.
Okay. And all right, we'll keep working it down.
Okay, no new account. Don't open small accounts. If you think your minimum is going to be $1 million, I said I wouldn't write it down until next week, but if you think you're pretty sure your minimum is going to be $1 million, let's start implementing that. Unless there are extenuating circumstances. Congratulations on a great year, folks. Appreciate your hard work. We will talk again 2 weeks from today.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Have a good one.
Thank you, folks. Bye. All right, that was Mike Carl, Matt Nicodime, Verna Arnold, Kaylee Olson, and Lori Dingman in St. Cloud. Notice that we're not going to meet next week because two of the team members are not available. Our next meeting will be the 20th. So I'll send you an email, but there it is.